Jones, thank you very much. God bless you. Bless you.
Bless you.
Oh, wonderful.
I love lunches. Praise God. I love my food. Do you love eating? Only a few. The majority are starving or maybe fasting. May I ask you one thing, please? If you may stand up, we will all read together. We will read from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, 17 verses. Ready? Let's read. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in this world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "The Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands, my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, 'Not one was clean.'" When he had finished washing the feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, the servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning. Good to be here. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, as you make us hearers now, make us doers afterwards. In the name of your precious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Later on, we will read in the book of Acts, chapter 2. But just looking at my text for study and preparation, I felt much humbling of spirit, and I hesitated to preach upon it. For I said in my heart, "It is high. I cannot attain to it." These deep verses show us the shallowness of our Christian living. My Christian living. Whose feet did I wash? Then I comforted myself by the thought that though I could not comprehend this text in a proportion, not measure its depth with a gouge, or weigh its mountain in scales, or its hill on a balance, yet it was all mine own. By the gift of the divine grace. And with me, I invite you therefore to fear not to enter upon the meditation of a chapter, a passage such as this. If I cannot grasp the ocean in my span, Spurgeon says, yet I bath therein with sweet content. If I cannot describe Jesus, the beauty of the church, yet may I gaze upon him. Better to have a glimpse of Jesus than to see all the glory of the earth all the days of our lives. So let's gather up courage, seek divine help, and draw near to this wondrous text. With our shoes from off our feet, like Moses when he saw the bush aglow with God. The Lord Jesus washing the feet of his disciple. We can see the authoritative nature of his approach. We cannot make mistake of that. But the surprising character of the exhortation becomes even more striking when it is remembered that humility was despised in the ancient world as a sign of weakness. Men were taught to be tough, and I believe we are still taught to be tough. We cannot show signs of weakness. And coming from the Congo, there is one thing for sure, men don't cry. You cannot show weakness. Even when you have lost a dear one of yourself, be tough. Jesus showing his love and humility to his disciples. This action of Jesus was revolutionary in the realm of human relationships. A man to do such a thing. In these verses, we have the story of Jesus Christ washing the disciples' feet. But why would Christ do this? As I say, this is too high. I hesitated to talk about it. But yet the Lord comforted me. He comforts us in a way, even though we may not comprehend the depth of his word. But as we look to him, he will begin to teach those mysteries. Not only to our mind as intellectual people, our heart, our soul, and our spirits will witness to his faithfulness. Jesus testifies his love to his disciples. I believe, secondly, he gives an instance of his own voluntary humility. He signifies to his disciples spiritual washing, and he sets an example to us. Christ manifested his constant love to them by washing their feet. Let's remember, if we read in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, Matthew gives a little detail that we don't find in John, that the disciples had just betrayed the weakness of their love to Jesus in grudging the ointment that was poured upon his head. A woman came before they ate and poured out this expensive perfume
oil upon Jesus. If we may please turn to that chapter, that will make it much more clearer. Matthew chapter 26. And when Jesus, I start from verse 6, and when Jesus was in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to John to buy the tents." Now, to be given to the poor. This is what happened just before Jesus displaying and expressing and showing his love to his disciples. See the timing of Jesus' action. Soon after the service, there will be some lunch eating going on. Now imagine, while you are eating, your master stands up and possibly interrupted his own lunch, his supper, got himself prepared and began to call one by one for their feet to be washed. I don't think we do that, do we? Even when it comes to washing our babies, our children, I don't think we do that in the middle of our supper or dinner or meal. This is profound. The more I looked into these verses, the more I trembled. I said, "Lord, what are you telling us? What are you telling the disciples? What are you telling the church?" He was about to do his father's business, and nothing else could come in between. And this is a tough example. He sets a tough act to follow. Although we love our food, I do, we need not to reckon it as a disturbance to be called from our meal to do God or our brother any real service. Let's not switch our mobile phones off while we're having a meal, but we may switch them off in the middle of the sermon. Would you leave your supper to show your love to somebody? It would have turned many a squeamish stomach to wash dirty feet at supper time. Yuck. But Christ did it. He did it. Nothing appears to the contrary, but he washed the feet of Judas, for he also was present. Jesus washed the feet of a sinner, as sometimes he's referred to as the worst of sinners, who was at his time contriving to betray him. This is a tough act to follow. Jesus left with us, being there for one another, being there for others. Are we as a church, are people of God, being there for a brother, for a sister? Are we ready to leave what pleases us just to be a service, a blessing to somebody else? How many times have we gone out of our own way just to bless somebody else? To be a real called out person. The church. We are the church. The church of Jesus Christ. Christ had still a kindness for his disciples. Though there was a Judas among them, and he knew it. The church is not composed by all holy people. Amen? But when we look at the church, we tend to look at the church through the lens of holiness and expecting to have each and everyone within the church holy. And when this does not happen, or if one person in the church, whether a member or a leader or the minister, the pastor, does something wrong, what do? We tend to despise the church. But for me, there is an example here. Even Judas, whom Jesus knew was going to betray him, he washed his feet. He was there for him. This is deep. This is deep. Jesus knew this man is going to betray me. But yet, he washed his feet. He was there. That's the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus knew how to get the balance right between the good and the bad. But yet, all both within his church. We are not called to bless only those who are good to us. But we are called to bless even those we believe are not good to us. The church. This is the love of God. Pure love. Jesus sitting there interrupting the business I love to do, to wash the feet of his disciples. The church is composed in weakness. That's the message. The church is composed in weakness, but yet made strong by Christ. I may disappoint few if you have come with expectation that the church is somewhere. It's a group of people who are holy and perfect and spotless. They make no mistake. Like this group, flawless. For those who remember the group, no diversity. No, we have every kind. And Judas Iscariot shouldn't discourage us from the church. Amen. Even him can have his feet washed by us. That's the church of Jesus Christ. I've heard people who are more concerned about their own surveying of the church. They become church surveyor, if you know what I mean. They want to see all that goes wrong in church. And don't get me wrong here, I don't mean unbelievers, I mean believers here. But Jesus is calling us to be more concerned about our service to others. Serve. Serve. Be a blessing. To wash one's feet was a mean and servile action in which servants of the lowest rank were employed to do. And then according to the commentaries, they say the hands and the faces are admittedly cleaner or less dirty than the feet. They had no socks maybe in those days. And they walked a lot on foot. And the disciples already had the reputation of not even washing their hands before meal. And now we see Jesus not washing their hands that are supposedly less dirty than the feet. Not the face, but the feet. The feet. So for Christ to stoop to such an act was an exceptional example. pure humility. Humility of Jesus Christ. This act was first and foremost for spiritual significance. The cleansing of the soul from the pollution of sin. We talked about sin today, brother. As you spoke, my hesitation began to fade. Yes, Lord, I can talk about this, even though I don't grasp it fully myself. In fact, who can grasp fully the word of God? Acts and actions may express our being or our having part with others. Having part. Jesus rebuked Peter. See Peter's attitude or behavior in verse 8. He professed a very strong, fixed resolution to Jesus. You will not do this. He might have been showing his master humility. No, Lord, you are my master. How dare you come and wash my feet? No. In fact, I am willing to do yours, in a sense. But not you to me. Well, there are many things in Christ, the meaning of which we do not for the present know. I don't know. But I know this thing. One day, someday, we shall know the truth. Amen. As Paul says, we know in part. We see dimly. But one day, someday, we will see Jesus as he is. And we will understand. The church today has not the same place that it had with the first disciples of Jesus. I hear people who say, I believe in God, but I don't go to church. Whose feet do you wash then? We see that? Whose feet do you wash? You fellowship with your laptop or your computer, which has no feet, in spiritual language, because they can put some legging on them. The church should be given its place by us, because we are the church. As Jesus showed with his disciples, wash one another's feet. Follow my example. Under his show of humility, there was a real contradiction between him and Peter. Peter contradicted the Lord. And again, there I see something we tend to do. We know what the word is. We know what the order is. God has spoken. Or maybe, let's say, a brother has spoken. A leader has spoken. Or a pastor, a minister has spoken. Not his own word, but the word of God. But yet we still find people like Peter who wants to be too kind to the speaker. No, you will not do this. No, pastor, no, how? No, you can't do this to me. I'm happy to do for you. But I think Jesus is telling us we are all called to wash one another's feet. And we see Jesus' reaction to Peter, or maybe re-reaction, because he acted and Peter reacted and Jesus re-reacted. If we see that way, he rebuked him harshly. I think if that was me, well, not me, no, maybe me, if that was my dear brother Paul, as nice as I know him, he'd say, oh, well, you know, I have to do it, you see. I have to be a blessing to you, you see. I get paid to do that. But we see Jesus did not waste his time. He says this. Let me go back there. Can somebody remind me which scripture is that?
John 13, that's where we are. What does he say to Peter? If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Jesus was showing something to the disciples, the church that we are. It's not about our will. It's not about our understanding. It's about his authority. It's about his love. If I don't do this, you will have no part with me. That's pretty tough. That is pretty tough. If I was there, maybe I could have said, Lord Jesus, easy. He's just trying to be nice. But I think when the word is given, the word of God, we cannot try to alter it. When the command has been given, we ought to follow. And following has become a major problem in this world, in our society. Following, obeying. And somebody was writing and saying, many intelligent people, with a little I, intelligent people, those who think, educated people, they cannot grasp this phenomenon, if I call it that way, believing in God, simply because they cannot take command. Because in God, we take commands. And I said, that's so true. We are refusing to receive commands. I'm going to wash your feet. Peter says, no. It doesn't matter whether we do it with good or bad intention. This is a very clear example for Peter. Maybe his intentions were good, but it was no godly thing to do. He was rebuked. And thank God, he realized his mistake, if I may say so. He said, Lord, not only my head, but perhaps my whole body. And again, he made another mistake. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, help us to be a church that is yours. Help us, Lord Jesus. And some Bible scholars have agreed that it was no humility but infidelity to put away the offers of Jesus. That it was no humility. We cannot put away the offers of the gospel as people of God. Like back then, Christ now still insists on his offers. He is the same. He still offers. We have his word. He speaks to us. He's telling us, wash one another's feet. Allow me to wash your feet. And I am also to be ready and prepared to let my brother wash my feet. Maybe some of us are good in giving, but are you good in receiving? And here I will not talk simply about material thing, but let me talk about the word of God. You might be good in releasing prophetic word, but are you good about receiving prophetic word from somebody else? Or when it comes from a particular brother or sister, we survey the word. Not that we look to it through Jesus, but we survey the word with our own intelligence. Jesus is calling us to be there for one another. What time am I supposed to finish?
4 o'clock.
Hallelujah. I've got 40 more pages. That's Jesus. Jesus leaving us with an example to be a church that represents him. A church that loves Christ and does what Christ has left with us to do. We need to understand what it means to be a believer. It is not simply about believing and studying the word and reading our Bible, but it's about fellowshipping. Being there for one another. Loving those who don't love us. Loving our own Judas Iscariot among us. Almost in every church, There is one who is somebody else, Judas Iscariot. But yet Jesus is telling us, even that one, wash his feet. That's deep. That's tough. Very tough to follow. And then I'm telling you, I'm the first hearer of this message. I'm not downloading or unloading it down to you. I am also receiving it. Lord, awake my soul. My soul. Awake our soul. The divinity of the church is an assurance that it shall continue. The church shall continue. The church is centered in its founder, Jesus Christ. The same one who healed the sick and fed the hungry, died for our sins, and rose again. Easter season has begun. He rose from the grave and he's alive today. He left us things to follow. And this is one of the things. And the timing for me is so important. In one's life, we know the things that the person has done to us or said to us before his departure, his death, are of immense importance. And Jesus waited upon this moment during supper to do what he did. Almost to remind us, this is something you cannot ignore. I leave it fresh to you just before I go, so that you remember. Wash one another's feet. Now let me ask you this. Just turn to the person sitting next to you and begin to think that one day I can wash your feet. And pray for God's willingness, God's grace, just to be able to do that. I can wash your feet. I do not want to begin to put meanings and significance to the washing of the feet. There may be many ways. There may be in the way of the Bible, taking literally the word as it is, taking a container and fill it with water and get your towel and do it as the Lord Jesus did. But it might also be in the way the first church of Jesus Christ demonstrated. So if we may stand together and read from the book of Acts to finish. This is a church that kept the word of Jesus. They learned how to wash one another's feet. And we will see from this text, it's a tough act to follow, particularly in our living days. But this is what they did. Can we follow? Ready? Read. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. Wow, God can add 3,000 people to a church in one day. My goodness. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling the possessions and goods, washing one another's feet. Those who had money gave to those who had no money. Washing one another's feet in a practical way. The church. And for me, this is beautiful.
If the world can see this in us and through us, maybe we will not have to preach in a different way. People will believe. They will see something about the church of Jesus, the church of God. An unbeliever was giving his testimony and said this. He came to a local bishop and explained that by reading the New Testament, he had entered a new world. He told how he progressed through the Gospels and was drawn to Christ. He then went on to say that once he entered the book of Acts, he discovered the disciples doing and teaching what Christ had been doing and teaching in the Gospels. He suddenly realized that the disciples had, in a sense, taken the place that Christ has occupied. The church had taken up the work where Christ had left it at his death. The conclusion reached by this unbeliever is a logical one. His simple statement was, I must belong to the church that carries on the life of Christ. And Jesus, in concluding in John 13, says this, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you do them. Let's say it to one another. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Amen. Shake somebody's hand.